It's 4:06, and you're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Gene Purcell, in for Veronica Ricker.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, we'll check out a new survey that looks at the news consumption habits of Americans and where we like to get our information from.
But first, the film adaptation of the novel Divergent by Veronica Roth opens this week. The film will surf the same wave of fanatical devotion for dystopian stories that help put Hunger Games over the top. And our next guest says that dystopian films and books are notable for another reason. They feature kick-butt heroines who appeal to both men and women, and that's a rarity in books and film today.
Devin Maloney joins us now. She's a contributing writer at Wired Magazine. Devin, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks for having me.
Let's give a quick listen to a clip from the trailer for Divergent.
Everyone's afraid.
But not you.
They're looking everywhere for people like you.
Divergence will destroy our society.
You're wrong.
Everyone's afraid but her. Can you give us a quick rundown, Devin, of what Divergent is all about?
Sure thing, yeah. It's a story about this girl named Beatrice Pryor. She changes her name later to just Tris. She lives in a world where society is divided. It's basically post-apocalyptic Chicago, and society is divided into five different sections. And every section is basically dedicated to a single virtue, whether it's abnegation, erudite, amity, and so forth like that. And basically, that's the way to keep the whole world running smoothly. And so, this girl, when you come of age, you get to choose which section you belong in. And she chooses, she's grown up in abnegation, and she chooses Dauntless, which is the fearless protector section of society. But she basically takes this test that tells her that she's actually divergent, which means that she doesn't actually fit in any one of these five sections. She could fit in one of three of them. And this is a very, very dangerous thing because the people who run the society are very against this. It kind of disrupts the stability of the society, so she has to keep it hidden. And so that's where the first book and the first film centers is on her going to Dauntless and learning about this faction while also keeping herself hidden, her true identity hidden.
Now, as we mentioned in the introduction to the story, this dystopian as opposed to utopian look at society, you know, shows like Hunger Games or Maze Runner, those sorts of things, are more common now. And so I've got a two-part question. Why these plots? Why now? And why do heroines figure so prominently in them?
Well, I mean, it's good that it's a two-part question because first you have to ask yourself, why are dystopian stories so appealing in general? And I think the answer to that is that we have a lot of anxieties about the future constantly, but they become even more we become even more attracted to stories about a depressing future because they allow us to explore those anxieties. And I think that it became a really powerful trope in young adult fiction, and particularly with these heroines, because it's a great way for young people to see their own anxieties expressed, not only about getting older, but about getting older in a world where we might not necessarily know what's out there for them. You know, their futures aren't as secure as, say, previous generations' futures might have looked. So I think that's why it's kind of gone towards the young adult and largely, not largely, because there are a lot of men who've read these books, but it is aimed towards these young women who are able to explore a lot of the issues that are coming up in the real world through these stories.
Is there an empowerment element here where these young women can rise up and succeed in the face of not just the everyday challenges women face now, but a dystopian society stacked against them completely?
Oh, totally. And I think, you know, all the dystopias that we've seen over the past, you know, few decades, going all the way back to Aldous Huxley's Brave New World, they were a way of, you know, parsing the way that our world is now. And young women in particular have a hard time. You know, you see a lot of things going on, world issues and within just the United States, women's issues being constantly attacked. And I think that this is a way that young women in particular are able to see themselves succeeding in a future that looks as depressing, if not more so, than things are now. And I think that they're a really great way to position powerful women in negative situations and seeing them succeed or not, but just navigating these places powerfully and you know, as active characters.
You mentioned Huxley, and you know, I think of Orwell at the same time, but if you fast forward a few years to authors like Margaret Atwood and A Handmaid's Tale and those types of books from the 80s, you know, in those books, women were sort of marginalized. They became second-class slaves. Do you look at books like Divergent and Hunger Games sort of in that vein of being feminist writing, or are they something less than that?
I think that they are certainly in that vein. I think that they serve different purposes. Margaret Atwood is she's a self-proclaimed speculative fiction writer. She's not writing specifically about dystopia. She actually wrote a column for the Financial Times last week, about a day or two after this piece that I wrote came out, about why we're so transfixed by dystopia right now. And you know, she for The Handmaid's Tale, she made sure that all of the things that were coming up in her world were things that already had a precedent in society, things that had already been done in you know, Western governments, and things that could possibly happen. You know, places like Divergent, the worlds that are described in Divergent, it's very unlikely that they're going to happen, and so they're a little bit different in that. They're much more of a tool for young people and adults too to really explore issues. Whereas Margaret Atwood was, I think she's saying a lot more about society, and she's being much more of a critic than I think Veronica Roth was. So it's I think that they are definitely under the same umbrella, but they serve different purposes in society.
There's a notion in pop culture, I don't know how true it is, but the idea that with a male lead in a book or movie, men and women will both watch it. With a female lead, it's mostly just going to be women who read or watch it. Are these dystopian heroines in things like Hunger Games and Divergent breaking that idea a little bit?
I don't know if they are themselves, but I definitely think we're in a position nowadays in pop culture where that paradigm is sort of shifting in what constitutes a powerful character, a compelling character. For a long time, what constituted a compelling character was usually written as a man. You didn't have very many strong female characters, and by strong I mean complex, like actual humans, characters that made decisions that weren't necessarily all the good ones. You can tell throughout the Divergent books and throughout the Hunger Games books that Triss Pryor and Katniss Everdeen are making choices that aren't necessarily in their best interest or in the best interest of the people around them, but you know why they're making them, and they are incredibly complex. And I think that the evolution in literature and in pop culture is towards a more diverse playing field for more different kinds of characters. And I think something that the producers of Divergent told me, where they were talking about what draws them to a film or to a project is compelling characters. And I think that the more you see a more diverse range of characters, the more people will interact with them and engage with them. And I don't think it has anything to do with whether it's just you know, characters like Triss in dystopian stories. And I think anybody can engage with any character that is portrayed as a human being.
If people are liking Hunger Games and Divergent as books or movies, can you leave us with a recommendation or two for some other good reads?
Sure. In my piece, I mentioned Lauren Oliver's Delirium trilogy and Marie Lu's Legend. Of course, the Maze Runner books are being turned into a movie coming up soon. But I mean, I'm currently speaking of Atwood. I'm currently getting through her Mad Atom trilogy. That's actually where I would put my recommendation. She's got a great trilogy. It starts with the book Oryx and Crake and moves on to the Year of the Flood, and then the third book is Mad Atom, and it's a great stepping stone, next step in the exploration of dystopian worlds and female empowerment.
That's been on my should read list for years now. Devin, thank you so much for joining us.
No problem. Thank you for having me. Have a great day.
You too. That's Devin Maloney, contributing writer at Wired Magazine.